I've been reminded several times recently how the only purpose of economic forecasting is to make astrology look respectable. Well, you don't need a crystal ball, even if you can afford one, or a modern Cassandra to work out we are on the cusp of judgingly tough challenges. Perhaps a couple of short examples from my Norfolk Wisdom notebook could prove more pertinent in any bid to put such foreboding in perspective. I recall a village housewife advocating, pay as you go, if you can't pay, don't go, and a telling text from a puckish parson just before the Sunday offertory plate went round, in the midst of life, we are in debt. Like any self-respecting product of a gilded age of austerity, you had to be there to make a very little go a long way. I deplore blatant excess, waste and bad manners often piled up in the name of getting on in the world. Despite all the rumours, I wasn't raised with four brothers and five sisters in a small shoebox just off the A47, where we licked the road clean whilst crawling to school through blizzards and heatwaves in order to appreciate the full glories of the three R's, rickets, ringworm and rations. Recycling became an optional extra. Nor do we drink out of a rolled-up newspaper, knock a hole in the wall and dip our crusts in next door's gravy, or hang up so many nappies in the kitchen there had to be a rainbow in the front room. We might have sent for the midwife every time the kettle boiled and queued up for a dip in the old tin bath in front of the fire on Friday night. One of our more irksome neighbours told me I belonged to a very poor family and they were saving up to buy a hat so I could look out of the window. Most encouraging on the eve of your sixth birthday. Such obvious priorities inspired by a crowded household may be hard to recognise by folk raised in homes with luxuries like electricity, hot and cold running water, indoor toilets and enough chairs and tins of salmon to go round if two or more relatives dropped in unexpectedly for Sunday tea. A mate doing men philosophy followed me to grammar school when a smart new blazer had to turn into a whole year project rather than a one-term fashion parade in black and yellow. Football gear came from brothers or friends too big for their boots. I nursed a pair of cricket whites through four seasons until I filled out and fitted them comfortably without taut braces. My shorts weren't for a long time, which may have explained a mountain of faults for refusals at the dreaded horse in the gym and a personal best of equal 198th in the annual cross-country race. The other boys' handicaps included a wrong turning across a ploughed field, a pulled muscle and a foul-smelling Turkish cigarette employed to ease the pain. Weekend highlights starred a hard-pressed mother bent on Strictly Come Darning. Well, that's what we would have called it if given the right kind of foresight to recognise unmissable popular culture of the future. Dixon of Dot Green and Sunday Night at the London Palladium took top billing on our black and white telly. Our shoes were resoled, elbows patched, punctures mended and other worries dispatched. All part of a self-sufficiently programme squeezed out of necessity and the old rural battle cry that it doesn't take long to do a five-minute job. Comparisons between the thrifty 1950s and what many regard as the self-indulgent current flow are best made by those who have sampled both. The social media explosion, a seemingly unstoppable torrent of traffic on our roads and streets, dramatic rises in numbers of old folk and obvious slumps in standards of public behaviour among all age groups make up a meaningful menu for starters. A rare evening out, not far from home, must have been arranged to shove me towards yet another things aren't what they used to be tirade. Children, clearly excited by release from the strictures of school, managed a few choice words and mannerisms they'd picked up during the summer break. Mummy and Daddy were too busy playing on their little screens to either see or hear. Elbows on tables, talking with a mouthful, getting down without permission, ignoring obvious disquiet of nearby diners, some of whom are hardly setting a good example. Then there's a rowdy family scrum as they form a huddle to send pictures of what's left on their plates to those lucky enough to be left behind. Just a little stain on the tablecloth of life, many will say, and most unlikely to stoke the fires of damnation between the fabric of 21st century civilization. Well, I see and hear it as a clear symptom of a pervasive to hell with everyone else cult, sitting uneasily alongside a growing need for more genuine care and tolerance. A clear advance in material wealth since rationing, darning and big families went out of vogue has not been matched by a suitable sense of gratitude or responsibility. Now another crashing wave of hard times is bound to hurt even more, while so many act as if they know the price of everything and the value of nothing.